I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Hello. Hi to you and to you and to you.
Not you.
Not you, but you. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to another Definitely Dying.
Welcome.
We got Ben in the studio, and let me tell you guys, he's sick.
Yeah. I guess it's not the flu. It's technically, the flu's respiratory, they say. They call it the stomach flu, but it's not actually supposed to be the flu.
Why does it make you barf?
Well, it's a virus. It's a it's just a contagious virus.
That's why it makes you barf?
No, I mean it's just the flu is a specific thing.
Yeah.
Like the flu is supposed to, they call it at this point the stomach flu.
Yeah.
But it's some sort of like stomach virus.
How long have you had it?
I got it. I don't know when I got it, but I woke up Tuesday morning with that, like, you know, I woke up and was like, uh-oh, something's not right. And then you have to like jump out of bed and like run to the bathroom. And then, and it was like a solid 4 hours of that.
Of puking?
Yeah.
Puking or pooping?
Both.
Both? Simultaneous or no?
Very briefly, but for the most part, just like one or the other. And then the barfing didn't last that long. I don't have any idea if it was food poisoning or if it was like, you know, that's the thing is that you get food poisoning, obviously, from contaminated food.
Yeah.
You also primarily get these stomach viruses from food, you know, because if somebody who is sick handled the food.
Right. So it's everything is kind of contaminated.
That's sort of the problem. Yeah. And in this case, so if it's contaminated food, if it's food poisoning, it's probably something that's spoiled or something that had gone bad in one way or another because of a contaminant or because of age.
Yeah.
If it's a virus that you can track through food, it was probably that whoever cooked it had the sickness, and then, you know, we put our, you know, you lick your fingers and then you touch the thing and then you're translated. So it's almost always transferred through saliva one way or the other. So, you know, that's why most of it's going to be food with the lone exception of, like, you know, in most people's case, like the one person that they're kissing, you know.
Unless
you're Al Franken these days. But,
I know. Bad.
That was upsetting.
Yeah, well, everybody's bad.
But everybody's bad. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real problem. And so we mentioned this briefly, and I don't want to make too much of a meal out of it, but you also had, for those of you who haven't heard about this on the podcast yet, Ben has a birthday curse where he gets ill or injured.
I don't love that terminology, but I'll allow it.
Okay, I also mean it pretty facetiously. And truly don't believe in curses, and I think it is like becomes dangerous, like almost like you're secreting yourself to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But
I manifested the destiny of sickness.
Well, this year we thought you had broken your birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we call a curse that's not a curse?
I guess it's my streak of bad luck.
Yes. Your birthday streak of bad luck. Because nothing happened.
No.
On your 40th birthday.
True, on my 40th.
But then you had a lovely party for your 40th and a half.
Yeah, my 40 and a half.
Which I was unable to be at, and I was very sad, specifically because it sounded fun to be at it, but also because I loved it. Like, just the whole spirit of the party seemed really terrific.
Yeah, it was fun.
But then you got sick.
Yeah. And now I will say that, like, you know, I didn't actually ever get sick on my birthday. The problem was I would get sick the day before, sick or injured the day before my birthday. So it would ruin my birthday. So it's a step in the right direction that I made it through the party.
Yeah.
And then got sick promptly after. And it was just one of those things that you're reminded of that, like, every hug contains germs, you know? And I have one of those, you're touching other human beings, you know?
That's a very sad way to look at the world.
Well, you know, it contains other things as well, but it's sort of like, you know.
Every hug is food poisoning waiting to happen.
Well, you know, it's like every bowl of Raisin Bran contains a decent amount of sugar too. You know, there's going to be a component to it that's, so, you know, I hugged everybody that came into that place. Uh-huh. And so I was what's the word I'm looking for?
You're a hug freak?
No, that's not the word.
You weren't looking for hug freak?
No, that's categorically completely different.
I were looking for the word hug freak. You're a real hug freak.
No, I want to say...
Hug freak?
Yeah, I was a hug freak, yeah.
I'm sorry, this is a really cruel way to treat a sick person.
No, it's okay. I was disposed? That's not the word I'm looking for. I can't think
vulnerable?
Of the... Yeah, I guess.
I know, wait. Exposed.
Exposed, yeah, exposed.
Exposed.
Thank you. Yeah.
It took me a second, too.
One of those days, folks. One of those days. So I was exposed to whatever, you know, and there's like a bunch of this stuff going around. But my fear was that I made a ridiculous amount of chili for this party, and I made it the night before, and I made so much chili that when I went to do, I had to make it the night before for the simple reason of quantity.
Yeah.
And then what you're supposed to do is take that chili, put it in the fridge, and then reheat it the next day.
Yeah.
But I made so much chili that when I went to put it in the fridge, it cracked the fridge. And so I had to take it out.
But the whole fridge or the shelf?
The shelf and then the shelf and then a shelf underneath it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so I had to take it out, and then at this point I had already put it in two different containers because it was so heavy that I couldn't lift it other than to like raise it off. It was about 125 pounds of chili, and it was
kidding.
Insane. I can show you guys a picture.
Please.
That's the other thing about chili is that like, so I made 20 quarts of chili, but in my head it was like 20 quarts of, I thought of chili as a liquid, but that's not actually true. It's both a liquid and a solid.
Yeah. So it really defies chemistry.
Yeah.
you got a liquid, a solid, a gas, and a chili.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So then what I had to do was
that chili, that pot is enormous.
Yeah. I had to like special order a pot. And so what ended up happening was I had to put it back on the fridge and circulate the heat. So I basically stayed up all night, like cooking it every like 30 minutes and then stopping and cooking it every 30 minutes and then stopping for a little while. It was basically anyone who's seen Lost. This was like my Hatch moment. Like I just had to wake up every hour to tend to the chili.
Because if it got room temp, then that's poison time.
After I looked it up and it was like after a certain number of hours, and they said 2, which in my mind meant 4.
Yeah.
It was going to be susceptible to new layers of bacteria.
And your party wasn't until 3.
Yeah. So I had to sort of do this periodically for quite some time. And it got to the party and the chili seemed to be in good shape, and it was a big hit. It was like, it went very well.
Yeah.
In my mind, like, the quantity was definitely going to affect the quality.
Yeah.
That was not the case.
Oh,
but
I'm
then,
so mad I missed out on that chili.
There's some sitting on my stove right now.
Have you been stirring it ever since?
No, I've been in bed ever since.
Let me come over and get some of that blue chili.
Yeah. So my fear was that I had served however many people showed up at this party, contaminated chili, but then no one else got sick except me.
That
also,
is such a relief.
And it was one of those things that, like, you know, I spent like a solid day being like, all right, I'm just like, you know, staring at this email, at this inbox, like waiting for the first one to come in saying like, hey, I don't want to be rude, but like, was something up with the chili? Because like, I got sick.
Yeah,
And then I remembered that I didn't actually eat any of the chili, so it wouldn't have made any sense. Because you cook that much chili, the last thing you want to do is eat it the next day.
Yeah, that's true.
So I more or less traced it back to a Domino's pizza. And I think it was just one of those things where, like, a guy who works at Domino's had norovirus or one of these stomach bugs.
Sneeze pizza.
And probably there are a bunch more like me who got their hands on Julio's contaminated pies. And no offense to Julio.
Pizza tracker to figure out who contaminated your pizza tracker.
It truly was Julio. Like, Julio's not a made up name.
Contaminating your pizza.
There's no way I would use anyone other than a white person name if I was making it up off the top of my head.
I was going to say something, but I didn't know.
No, I would blame it on Al Franken. he's our current villain. But now I'm here. I will say that, like, when I was coming here, I was like, not coming here, but when I was coming to UCB my series of, you know, plans today, I was dreading it. Just the thought of leaving the house was horrible. I literally slept up until I had to leave. But once I left the house, it became good to be around people again.
Oh, good.
And to update anyone who's listened to previous stories, I did not sign up for Tinder this time while I was sick.
Congratulations!
yeah, thanks, guys. I did not reach out to any ex-girlfriends to poison their current existence. I've done it in the past. I always thought it was the nice thing to do. It was not a nice thing to do. Leave your past alone. If your past has moved to the present with you, then you can play with it. But if your past is in the past, leave it there.
Yes.
Don't bring it your sick germs and tell it that you missed it.
This is sick at 40.
Yeah, this is sick at 40. So I made it through. I made it through the party and then got sick, and then I didn't do any of the toxic things that I do once I'm sick.
Do you know what this sounds like to me?
What?
This sounds like a streak broken.
Nice. The curse has been lifted.
I think the curse has been lifted.
Well, I'm glad we got to that point by the end of this. Should we start the show?
No.
Okay. Bye.
Guys, we have a great, great guest today. I'm so excited to have her on the show. She's a head writer at Nerdist.com. She's a writer for Cartoon Network. She's a performer and writer. You can see her all around at UCB. Right now, she's directing a mod team called Bombardier. And she's just a real fucking delight. Joan Ford, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
I think that was Madeline's first cuss in an intro.
I know. I wanted to try it. Yeah. It seemed fun.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You're worth it.
Yeah.
You're a fucking delight.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yeah, it felt really nice to say.
I don't know how many guests you had prior to me, but I feel like I could feel the build up to it. I appreciate it.
That was 84 guests in the making.
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Joan, we like to start things off with the same question for all of our guests. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
I think it's relatively high. I was going to put it at like a 7.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd say a 7.
And what does 7 mean to you? Oh, sorry.
7 means, it means a couple things. I think on a very practical basis, I have food allergies. So specifically peanuts.
Oh.
But lots of nuts are bad. Yeah. Legumes are bad. So like on a day-to-day basis, just when I'm eating, it's always something that I have to keep in the back of my head.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, there's always part of me that's like, this could kill me. This could. Like, and if I start to eat something and I feel weird, I'm like, am I dying right now?
Yeah.
So that's on a day-to-day basis, I think about that stuff. I kind of have to think about that stuff a lot for my own well-being.
Yeah.
In terms of others, you know, kind of more long-term, like looking to the future, I will say I'm currently in the process of starting HRT, which is hormone replacement treatment. And that's, I'm doing a lot of research into that. And that's you know, there's long-term thoughts about that because, you know, this is stuff I'm researching and learning about right now. I'm not pretending to be an expert on it just yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like anything that you do to your body, increases the risk of cancer, and so there are these kind of like big long term questions for me right now. I don't think it's not like a it's it's pro, I, like I said, I'm not an expert yet. Not a, you know, I don't think it's any more of a increased risk than, let's say, when you're taking, you know, birth control or anything else
right,
like that.
Right.
But it's still like a thing I'm thinking about now. Like, okay, well, this is a long-term thing I've always wanted to do for myself. But now that I'm actually doing it, I have to think about the, you know, how it's going, like, not just how it's going to affect me, like, the next month or two or year, but, like, what's, you know, it mean for, like, the rest of my life. So it's in the, so yeah, both short-term and long-term, I'm thinking about it a lot.
No, that's, I would say that's like about as micro and as macro as it gets. Like you have a very pragmatic, you have to be pragmatically aware of death at all times. And then also big picture. I'm going to give you an eight. I think you're an eight.
Okay, I'll upgrade it. I'll take that eight.
That's what we like to do here. We like to ask our guests questions and then kind of reassess after they've answered. I think you're right about that one. You're an eight.
It feels like you know, you're talking to a doctor. You come up with a problem, they're like, I thought it was this, but no, it's that. So I like it.
We are doctors.
You're not an expert. We are experts. We are the furthest thing from experts. It's sometimes we are paranoid freaks.
Most of the time. What I'm curious, I should know this, but I don't. What actually happens during HRT?
This is something I'm still learning because I'm in the process of, I'm like taking my first like consultations. I think it's like, it's kind of a mix of the both, injections and like, and taking things oral and things orally.
Is it something you do for a finite amount of time, or is it something you do for the duration, like forever?
It's something your body will not just eventually start.
It will like learn. It will be like, I know how to make
estrogen.
That's like,
which would be cool.
It's probably in the works.
That's got to be a thing. Like in 100 years.
I like to think it's evolution too. I think we will evolve into. I mean, it seems like gender is stupid. Like it feels like we're all both. We're all everything.
I do feel like there are two segments of the population. One's moving very like away from the idea of gender as, you know, as a. Is this like all important construct that dictates our lives? And then there's a segment of the population that's like, no, this is gender is important, and we got to like hold on to it for dear life. But but I guess that's true of everything in life these days.
This is entirely sadly true.
So true.
There are two groups.
it's not specifically on topic for this podcast, but it's. I mean, we could talk about it endlessly.
But I guess I will say, the big thing, doing my due diligence. Can we talk? I was about to be like, can I talk about like gross stuff here?
Incest.
Doing my due diligence, you know, both about like, you know, researching it before I begin. There's also like just the monetary consideration of it. I have to get my, I want to get my, I feel great by getting my sperm free, get like freeze in case I ever do eventually, want to have kids. So I'm also thinking about the potential death of future generations.
There's so many considerations. There's so many. It like. You sort of like lose a little bit of the luxury of just like living in the moment bit. What's the what is that doctor's office like? My only reference point is the one scene in Transparent when he like goes to the doctor and that doctor's like, "Are you sure?"
Did you go to that doctor?
I did not go to that.
It was a very alarmist.
It's just a doctor's office. I have a little maybe. I think there are. You can. From what I understand, I think you can get a lot of that taken care of if you're not insured or you don't have insurance. There's a lot of like LGBT centers who will through that. I am lucky in that I have a job with very good health insurance.
Oh, great!
So I feel like so bougie saying that, but I do.
Matters.
So I can. So I'm going. I'm going to a doctor downtown. It's good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, would you consider yourself somebody outside of these sorts of circumstances who is very in the moment, or are you a planner in just in general?
I think I'm a planner. Yeah. A planner in general. I tend to think things out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can live in the moment, but that's not my main mode of function.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think most of us as writers are. I mean, we do a lot of planning, a lot of prepping, and then we act.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think that has anything to do with? First question: how long have you had food allergies?
Oh, my entire since before I can literally remember.
All your life.
Yes. I can tell you the story about how my family found out.
Yeah.
It was my first Halloween. So I would have been like a couple months away from turning one.
Uh-huh.
And we went to my grandparents' house for the night.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother gave me a peanut butter cookie. And then that night, my mom said she remembered like walking in on me and she's saying that I was like, you know, I was breathing really weird.
Yeah.
Like I was just like clearly in distress.
Yeah.
She got my dad. And my dad was like, don't worry about it. They'll be fine. Just let him, you know. And my mom was like, no, we're going to the hospital.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, yeah, good you did, because they would have died.
If you didn't come here, you would have died.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
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 And also, I think it because I sat with it, it actually probably made the allergy worse.
Oh.
I didn't die immediately. Like, I think if we had done something to, like, counteract it immediately, it'd been better. But now it's, like, because they let it sit for so long, I'm, at, like, now it's, like, and like any little bit of peanuts will kill me.
Is it an airborne thing?
I get, like, airborne or touch. Like, I will get rashy. I can get swollen from that. But it doesn't kill me.
Yeah.
I should say, like, I'm so reactive to it that if I just like put a little near my mouth, I'll probably like throw up.
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
I feel like my body like won't even like let it in. So
right.
I don't know. So maybe there might not even be possible. Like my body must be like immediately like no, get this away. But yeah.
So how soon would you become aware of like peanut butter? Like if we had peanut butter in this room,
if I walked into this room and there's peanut butter, I would like immediately. Yeah, it's what makes like going to like
Do you have any peanut butter?
No,
okay,
that's
good,
just
good.
An
yeah.
accident.
That's my
Madeline's favorite food.
Oh, really?
Have peanut butter. We've done peanut butter taste tests.
We've done
in this room.
Taste tests. No. More than one.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought, on a podcast having nothing to do with peanuts.
I thought you guys were like testing me. Like, did you watch Better Call Saul?
Oh no!
Oh, but,
yeah.
I don't.
No, never mind.
Have you had any like crazy close calls?
The last close call I had was actually in college, which was like so like maybe like 15 years, no, yeah. 13 years ago now. It was the last day of it was like I think it was like the almost the last day of my senior year, and I guess they're just like running out of food in the cafeteria, so they're just like throwing like anything together. So I got like ham. And then I just thought it's like ham.
Yeah.
And I take a bite and like immediately like I throw it up. And I go to the guy and I'm like the cafeteria worker and I'm like what is this? And he's like, oh, it's a ham with a peanut butter glaze, which is like insane.
What even is that?
Yeah, it sounds like the Ninja Turtles.
Right.
But yeah, so I was like I had to go to the hospital. I spent the night there. It was like almost like the last day of my at college.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah.
That really reminds a person that you have to like literally ask always.
Yes.
Like you can't. Wow. Peanut, that's one. That sounds disgusting. Shame on that person.
Ham
shame
with
on that
a
pothead.
Peanut butter glaze.
Ugh. Yeah. Even you, I mean, you like ham, right?
Yeah.
I've seen you eat ham.
Oh, I like ham.
You like peanut butter more than just about anything.
Oh, you bet.
More than anything other, more than just about anything.
More than anything other than what?
Ben's. I was going to say
Ben's. Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say a different food. And I was like, what else do I like?
No.
Oatmeal.
Well, yeah, but that only with peanut butter in it.
Yeah, you're right.
I forgot what the point was. Does that sound horrifying
it
to you?
Disgusting.
That sounds like those flavors don't. And I used to eat a sandwich made of turkey, peanut butter, and pickles, mostly despite those around me.
Yeah.
But even that sounds more appealing than ham. And ham is just such a salty meat.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even, like, quite comprehend it because, like, peanut butter is just so, like, outside of, like, any flavor profile.
Yeah.
I could understand. It's, like, it's like almost like bleach. But I can still, like, kind of intellectually comprehend why those two things would just, like, don't belong together.
They know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would never want you to ingest peanut butter because it would have tragic effects.
Yeah.
But I would wonder what peanut butter tasted like to you in that way that, like, cilantro tastes like dish soap to people who are allergic. Or, like, for me, I'm allergic to beer, but it's not beer. It's unrisen yeast.
Yeah.
But then when I taste beer, I know it doesn't taste the way it tastes to people who not even necessarily enjoy it, but have just, like, grown accustomed to it.
Yeah.
Like, your mouth could have never adjusted to peanut in a cream, peanut in any form, but, like, let alone...
like a concentrated cream form.
So,
I mean, it's that is actually something I wonder about. Like, what does – when people taste peanut butter, what are they – like, are they tasting the same thing I do, but it's just a completely different reaction?
Yeah.
Or am I tasting something, like, crazy and different? I mean, but there are – the biggest disappointment is there's so many, like, candy bars that, like, I'm just never going to get to experience.
This is true.
What can what – candy bars can you eat?
I can eat a lot of candy bars. Milky Way, Musketeers,
Twix. Both of those are yucks to me, I have to say.
What? Oh, man.
Well,
Madeline.
I apologize. Yeah, both of them are yucks.
Actual yucks?
I think they're, well, Twix, I love.
Okay.
But Three Musketeers and Milky Way are both yucks.
I would say I don't love Milky Way. I love Milky Way Darks.
Okay.
It's too much. I don't like,
nougat.
Don't love chocolate. Okay. I like it in a thin layer over something else. And so... nougat's really not for me, and then caramel's not for me, so a Milky Way is like...
I kind of wonder if, like, you're, like, our flavor profile, because you could eat peanuts, like, you got more accustomed to the sweet tempered with the salty, and, like, I never had the candy to get, like, adjusted to that.
Oh, right, I'm sure that's what it is.
I'm so surprised. I can't eat M&M's. All M&M's, even, like, the non-ones, have, like, traces of peanuts. I don't know what it is, but I get allergic reactions to M&M's.
Oh, that's crazy.
Is there any nut? Is there any one? Is there any nut that you can have? And two, is there any? Okay, well, let's answer that one first.
Any nut? I'm pretty sure. I think I'm like getting. I'm okay with a lot of, because nuts and peanuts have nothing to do with each other.
They're, oh, because really? A peanut's a legume.
Yes,
peanuts are a legume. But I will. So I'll tell you this. I think. When my mom found out that I was allergic to peanuts, I think she just got paranoid and was like, you can't have any nuts.
Yeah.
So I grew up my entire life thinking I couldn't have any nuts.
Oh.
But then, like, I realized my entire life I've been eating, like, Honey Nut Cheerios, which has almonds in it, and it's fine.
Oh.
So I've had, like, I think, like, there are other things. Like, I've had coffee with hazelnut in it.
Yeah.
So I may not be as allergic. I may not be allergic to nuts at all. It's like this. It is like this paranoia that I was kind of grew up with because my mom immediately got overly cautious.
Yeah.
So I'm still like, I can eat like Honey Nut Cheerios, but if I know that I'm like ingesting like an almond, I'll probably, I might freak out.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you, was your mom overprotective with nuts or with everything?
With
that was my question too.
Oh yeah.
Can I ask it?
Yeah. Wait. Actually, Ben, will you? Will you ask
I
it?
Hear you.
Yeah. Was your mother overprotective about only peanuts, or did it extend beyond the legume family?
Well, that was better.
No, it wasn't better. I wanted a yes and. I didn't want to just yes.
No, I thought that was better.
Thank you.
I liked yours. In answer to both your questions, yes, she was I had a very overprotective mother. Yeah.
How did it manifest?
Yeah.
Like lots of ways. You know, couldn't hang out with alone with friends until I was like I don't know 13, 14.
Yeah.
Couldn't ride bikes off the off the street, like off like our like little cul-de-sac.
For fear of kidnap, for fear of getting hit by a car, fear of everything.
I think fear of like everything, of like everything. It was a long time before she let me buy lunch at school. She always like pack lunch because she's so nervous about that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Just like a lot of little ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I have like a super interesting, funny story about it. But yeah. Wouldn't let us swim without like life jackets.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh no, wait, that's ever?
No, like out in the when we were like in a lake. Like,
where'd you grow up?
We grew up in upstate New York, but we went up. Okay. We like some we uh we summered up in the Adirondacks. My okay. Oh, okay. My grandfather bought like a summer house during the when the real estate market collapsed in the 70s. So we have this very nice, very old summer house because of that.
Oh, that's great.
Is that where the Finger Lakes are? Is that
it's around. Okay, it's near there. Yes.
Mm. Nice. And what is you mentioned that when you were talking about your initial instance with Peanuts, you said that your mom got very scared and your dad was very chill about it. Is your dad a very chill dude?
Yes, I'd say my dad is very they're kind of opposites. Yeah, my mom is very anxious and overprotective and just generally I love my mom. She's great, but she's a very generally nervous person. And my dad's generally very kind of aloof and whatever about things, things will feel, ailments will take care of themselves. He doesn't when he's sick, he hates being doted on.
It's a classic dad right there.
You're looking at a classic dad right here. I had a real week of leave me alone. Yeah. And then I got here and I was like, thank you for stop leaving me alone. Thank you for talking to me, people.
Thank you for stop leaving me alone.
I forgive my dad for ignoring the peanut allergy reaction when I was little, because I think he eventually did the same thing himself. If he had a heart attack at his office, and if his secretary hadn't forced him to be you're going to the hospital, he would have just been it's fine, and then have died.
It's crazy the way that in one moment a nag becomes a hero, you know?
Yes.
A nag becomes a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm such a nag. Yeah.
The world needs nags.
I am a nag. I'm a humble nag waiting to be a hero.
I didn't want to say it. You are a hero. You are a bit of a nag.
I am naggy as hell.
But nags are good.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
I don't apologize for it.
No, because you want to be a hero.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you want to be a hero. You want to be prepared for when a hero is needed.
I want, that's my superhero origin story. Mm-hmm. You like nerd stuff.
I love nerd
stuff. Can you write a superhero? Write a comic about a naggy lady who just knows all the things that might happen, and then she becomes a superhero.
That is a very mom. That's a very mom superhero pitch.
It was it was like a mom superhero pitch, but started out in the most antagonistic jockey kind of way. Yeah. You like that nerd shit.
Anyway. But yes, I agree. Nags, the world needs nags, or we'd all be ignoring our colon cancer before it got way too late.
Yeah.
Which is something my cousin did that. He never got married, he just ignored everything that happened to him and he died.
Oh Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that statistic where people are people who aren't married die earlier. Yeah. And it's not necessarily because it's not love makes you live longer. It's just to have someone be go to the fucking doctor, Chuck.
Yeah. I do think when you're by yourself, you're kind of whatever. And it's good to have someone to commiserate your panic with.
Yeah.
Do you live alone or do you have roommates?
I have three roommates.
Three roommates.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it or yeah?
I like, we're all aside from the fact that we all do comedy stuff, we are very all on very different paths. So we don't, I love all my roommates. We get along, but we don't we're not a hangout house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We're not New Girl or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should make a sitcom about four roommates who kind of
nothing to do with each other. Yeah.
Full of good ideas.
Yeah, just four different B stories, but we have time for an A story.
Yeah, the A story is just 3 minutes of people saying, hey,
there's a group text about who's going to take out the trash, but the only thing that connects the four of them. Yeah.
Brenda, I need the bathroom.
Yeah.
This week.
Has anyone ever lived in a house, a real hangout house, where the roommates are actual best friends?
We've hung out with.
Yeah.
Go on.
I've been adjacent to several hangout houses.
Right.
I know I always say my husband Ben, which sounds insane, but it's unnecessary distinction because there's
necessary.
Two Bens. Yeah. So
I would get accused of all the sick stuff that Ben Green does.
That was such a knee bump.
That was real.
You could hear that one on the podcast.
Oh,
How does that happen per once per episode at least?
No. It's one of those, like I had a little, injured it ever so slightly this week. So now I'm bumping it in everything. Otherwise, no. Anyway, let's move
that's
on.
Okay.
So Ben Green in college lived like with a bunch of buds and like this, the same group that like gets together like every Labor Day without fail and like hangs out at a lake. And I was like, so I was kind of adjacent to that house. And then we have like another like big group of friends that like all lived in like this big house kind of close to here on Winona Boulevard.
Yeah.
So I've always felt like I was like just a step away from being part of something really special.
I've never had. Yeah. I've been adjacent.
Yeah.
I came close when I used to live with Leland.
Oh yeah.
We were semi-close friends, but that was like as close as I ever got to like a hangout house.
Yeah.
I'd say the birthday boy house was for me, and I was very happy to not live there. It was I mean, it was a cesspool. It was it's like a I don't know how they didn't all constantly have bacterial infections.
Yeah.
Do you know they didn't?
Yeah, I guess I don't know that.
Yeah,
maybe, I was getting a lot during that period.
Yeah.
And it didn't even occur to me.
That's a great question.
I didn't do any of the tests. Yeah. I didn't do any of them.
I had like three best girlfriends in college, and like we like lived in the dorms, and then like senior year we were like gonna all move into a house, and then we all found out we could get singles on the same floor of the same dorm, and we just opted to continue living in a dorm.
Single dorms are amazing.
Yeah,
I
had like a corner kind of like handicapped room, and it was the best. I had a sink in my room.
It was so nice. That does sound nice.
Yeah. It does sound nice.
Yeah, but we did forego like a cool group living environment. I lived with an old lady.
Well, that's true. When Madeline moved here, she lived with an old lady.
Yeah, yeah.
I know a couple of people who've done old lady, like old, like our old person roommating.
Yeah, an old lady or an old, I don't know, but I think I would prefer an old lady to an old man to live with.
Funny thing about the old lady, she would also claim she lived with an old lady when she lived with me.
Honestly, she was the most compatible roommate I've ever had. Not true, because my other roommate, my like very best friend Michelle, is also a self-proclaimed old lady in like a 32-year-old lady's body. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that story was going to go in the direction of the husband that you live with currently when you talked about compatibility with your roommate.
He's not my roommate.
Yeah. He's your roommate. He pays half the rent.
Yeah, you're right. I married my roommate.
Yeah, roommate.
The bathroom. That's the only time you guys ever interact.
Yeah, you're right. Did you have a question?
I was going to bridge a little bit, but
bridge.
I was going to ask, because you'd said when you, if you came even close to peanut butter, that you would vomit.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask about any, because I had some vomit issues this week. Did not word that as pleasantly as I could have, but it's the truth. Have you had food poisoning in your life?
Oh yeah, I think I've had food poisoning twice. One was from Chinese buffet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and one was from, I think one was from just like bad, from like soup. Like,
oh really?
Yeah. Like I think it was like bad soup. Yeah.
Whoa, I never heard of, what would make soup bad?
Maybe it was old. Like I think it was. Okay. I think it was like
old soup.
Old soup. It was old soup.
Yeah.
I think those are the two things. Two times I remember. Yeah.
What do you remember about it?
I
just want to commiserate.
Yeah.
If that's okay, Madeline. God.
Yeah, that's great.
Like just like food poisoning is like miserable. It's like we're the worst kind of it just feels like it's nonstop. Like you just have to like keep going until you've got like everything out of your body, and then like you kind of like it does like a another pass just to be like let's make sure. But I just remember like it's hard to remember everything than be like sweating like
over, so much sweating.
Yes, over
and also shivering.
Yeah, one of the times was when I was like living alone. I had I had like no food in the house, and I remember like being like after like. Like 12 hours being like, I want to eat something, like, and getting out of my bed just long enough to be like, I think I can walk to the 7-Eleven and get some saltines, and just like halfway to the store, I'm just like on the sidewalk.
Yeah, my stomach kept seizing. Like it was, and I don't know that the sickness part of it was like so short that I'm still not convinced that it wasn't food poisoning. But I'm still sweaty and have chills. but that just might be my that might be my like personal temperature. Yeah. Like I might just have I might just have a gross body. but yeah, it it was utterly brutal. It was like 4 hours of like straight puking.
Yeah.
Just lying on the floor of the bathroom, like tilting my head up to puke more.
Yeah. It's not like I can sit home and it's an excuse to sit home and watch Netflix kind of sickness.
Yeah.
No. You're just like miserable for however long it takes.
Yeah. Have you had it?
No.
Really?
I'm terrified of it. Well, actually, I used to be more scared of it. Even when we started doing this podcast, I was very scared of food poisoning. And I've recently realized I think I have an incredibly resilient stomach because I just eat trash all the damn time. And like, I just nothing like the only thing that really makes me sick is just sometimes I eat too much.
You're right.
And then
right.
I just get too full. But that, but I kind of think like I was a husband, Ben, and I, we were on the subway going downtown, and there were these weird four random beads just kind of sitting on the window of the subway, and they kind of like the subway stopped and they sort of rolled down like the window well, and we were debating how much money would it take to eat those beads.
Were they just plastic beads? They weren't edible, they were like little wooden beads, they weren't food, but they were just kind of like
beads that have been hanging out on the subway somehow.
Subway beads.
And my price was very low to eat them because I just have a feeling it would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you just, like, nothing would really cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like,
I think it would be fine.
Yeah.
But wait, they were on the subway?
Yeah.
They would just roll towards you on the subway?
Yeah.
Those were in someone's butt. Those were definitely in someone's butt.
They were tiny if they were anal beads.
Oh, okay.
I think because anal beads have got,
someone with a tiny butt. It's like a starter set. It's my first anal beads.
Yeah. You could have contracted tiny butt.
Yeah.
I could have. Yeah.
Very, very contagious. Maybe you're like one of the. I feel like there are mechanics who like just don't wash their hands. Like, there's like a little grease is good for you. You build up resistance. Yeah. Maybe have you eaten a lot of motor oil? Is what I'm trying to ask. Yeah.
Answer, Madeline. Answer.
Probably.
She did pay her way through college, but as a mechanic. Yeah.
I wish that was true.
Me too.
So do you consider yourself a generally fearful person?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Emotionally, I feel like I might be a little bit fearful. Like I have trouble. Like I don't get close to a lot of people, and I think I worry a lot about future interactions with people, that stuff. But like in terms of like doing stuff, going places, having adventures, like I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. People can be mean.
Yeah. Yes. People can be mean.
Yeah. Do you think that hasn't, like, it feels like you've had, like, so much looking out to do with, like, anything you eat might kill you. Like, did you have to learn that, or was it all, like, to be less fearful, or, like, were you a fearful kid?
Yes, I was definitely, like, a fearful kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, it's hard. I grew up in, I went to, like, an all-Catholic school.
Ooh.
Not exactly the most, like, progressive or welcoming place. Like, a lot of bullies, a lot of, I don't know, just, like, generally, you know, it's hard. Like, I had to be very, like, cautious of, like, people and the people I hang out with. Very, like, worried about, like, who was really my friend and who wasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's something that I probably, you know, I developed early in life.
Yeah. And do you know how you became less fearful? Like, can you, like, think of it, or did it just, is it just kind of like something you sort of slowly grew out of?
I think it's, I mean, I think like anything, you know, it's as I, yeah. you know, when I got to, when I kind of started moving out of my town, you know, going to college, I think I slowly started to evolve a little bit more there. But I think it was like really coming to the, like, really, I don't feel like I really kind of like opened myself up like to myself until like I really like got to LA. And even that, like, it took a long time. I mean, I know this, it just feels like such a like, like a weird trite, like, also trying to sell UCB thing to say, but like it wasn't until I started like improv like forced me to open up a bunch of things that I had like I closed off to myself, like just like that I guess I will be specific here. I'm like I attribute doing UCB improv a lot to why I was able to like come out and so That's I feel like where I really kind of grew as a person.
Yeah, definitely.
That's like as shining an example of why someone should try UCB as anything I've ever heard.
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
That,
yeah.
Or I mean, I won't tell you which improv school to go to, but it does.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I will say it forced me to. Like all these things that I would prevent myself from doing. You're like, when you do improv, you're just kind of like thrown into it, and it's good. It's good.
Yeah,
I wish
yeah.
I hadn't waited so late in life to do it.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Emerson in Boston.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So you were on the comedy path from the moment that you left upstate.
I was. Nice. Yeah.
That's I feel it's, I mean, like similarly that like. I'm still like pretty anxious, but I felt like I was a much, much more socially anxious kid than and it like peeled away a little bit in college, but then it took coming to LA, I feel like I've done everything like in terms of like coming out of my shell, like a beat late.
Yes. I feel the same way. Like I feel like I'm in my like 30s and I feel like I'm doing stuff that I should have probably been doing in my like late teens and early 20s. I'm much more of like a club person now than I've ever in my life. Me and my friend, a good friend of mine, Kate Raft, like we go to the club on like almost like weekly or like like every other week basis.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I feel like so silly because I'm like so much older, but I'm also like, this is something like I never got to do. So
No, I feel the same way where I like never, I mean, I like don't go to like the club, but like I like threw up for, this is like not a fun story, but I like threw up from drinking for the first time in my life like a year ago.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Because just like never, I mean, and I'm not saying that like you have to get sick from alcohol to be like fun. You know, that was like not fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like I, not until like my late 20s did I like more like settle into like a group of friends that felt like really fun, like, you know, like my kind of people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, yeah, I feel like I've become progressive. I was like a little businesswoman in like high school. And
And I think that's okay. I feel like
it's great.
Life puts it like we're told like our life has to be on these like very specific paths and doing these specific things at any given time. But I don't know. I feel my life feels like good and full and like rich right now. And I'm even if it's a little late, I'm thankful for it.
Yeah.
No question. No one should ever decide that it's too late for anything that you want. Not necessarily, you know, it can be something that you want in the grand sense, but it can also just be something, you know, no one should ever feel like they missed out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if this is your time for that, then this is your time. You're not too late for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also,
Kate Raff, she's a little late on it. No,
she's 10 years younger than me. So.
Oh, she's a little early.
I also, I think like something I appreciate about like being in the comedy community is that like it sort of rejects the idea that you need to get more serious the older you get.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, in a way, I think I feel like comedy in a little bit like. Rejects the idea of like kind of like age in general.
Yeah.
And like if you're fun and you're funny and you're kind of, you know, welcome here, which is nice.
Yes.
Like I feel like I'm now when I look at my group of friends, our ages are like so all over the place,
Same.
And it's something we almost like never think about or address. Or,
never.
Yeah. If we do, if it is addressed, it's usually someone who's like, I feel so self conscious, and everyone just tells them to like shut up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually that person's me. But
Wait, are you the one who says shut up, or are you the one who says I'm self-conscious?
I'm the one who's self-conscious. Who's like, oh, I'm like,
I learned today how to save a Facebook post so okay. I can read it later. And so then I was just like, I don't know. We were talking about like a segment for this for this episode, and I was like, well, I saved something on Facebook.
Oh wait, wait.
Let's try it.
It was just this article about the things that a food poisoning expert avoids like the plague. And so I just thought they were like fun.
Oh, okay. Throw them at us.
Okay. So why don't you guys take some guesses at things that you think would be dangerous potential sources of you know, it could be E. coli, it could be
Listeria.
Yeah, Listeria. Yeah. Could be Salmonella, that kind of stuff.
I'd start with like anything like mayonnaise based, like coleslaw.
Potato salad.
Yeah,
mayonnaise
on there.
Mayonnaise based picnic foods.
Well, mayonnaise isn't technically on here except for the fact that raw eggs are, and that's what mayonnaise is, raw eggs and oil, right?
Did I tell you I stop me if I've said this on this podcast, but did I I figured out why I like mayonnaise?
It's delicious.
I knew you had been thinking about it for a very long time, but no, you never got to the bottom of it.
Well, here's a very important thing about me. Yeah. I hate ranch. Yuck. I hate it.
I hate ranch.
Ranch
is the worst.
And everybody's obsessed with it.
No,
the smell of it makes me want to throw up.
It's also too like watery. It's like a bad. Mm-hmm. It's like blue cheese or nothing.
Yes. Well, but I don't like blue cheese dressing though.
Oh, you don't like blue cheese.
I don't like the crumbles.
Okay.
I love the crumbles.
I don't like the dressing. I like the dressing.
I think I'm biased against the dressing just because it looks like ranch.
Yes. Right, right, right.
And so, a lot of like white creamy dressings are not for me. Like sour cream, cottage cheese.
No, I can do all that.
Hate it.
I hate it.
Cottage cheese is
me too.
Bad.
Yeah.
Do you like sour cream?
I can't.
Yeah.
I really feel everything that I hated as a kid, I've at least sort of come around to, except for sour cream.
Yeah. Me too. But ranch and
ranch
sour cream.
Ranch too, yeah. Is ranch sour cream based? Is that what?
It's
I don't know what
not,
it is.
But it's cream. It's like, I guess it's buttermilk.
Right, yeah. That's what it is. Yes,
so
thank you.
Everybody was all, whenever I explain to someone, as I often do because I'm a child, like the dressings I don't like, people always assume I don't like mayonnaise. And I do like mayonnaise. In fact, really like it. But I realize it's because it's not dairy.
No.
It's just eggs and vinegar.
I love
oil, right? It's oil,
eggs,
right?
Oil, and...
Is there vinegar in it?
I think there must be a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's like eggs and oil and vinegar. But it's, what a revelation.
Yes.
Well, I'm really glad I got to share this.
I'm glad too.
I love
Salmonella can live both inside and outside the shells of eggs. Symptoms of salmonella poisoning can last for over a week and include cramps, diarrhea, and fever. Again, this is information that we don't necessarily need. But eggs apparently are getting safer. But things with raw egg, that's going to be...
anything mayo-based.
Anything mayo-based. the Rocky diet of drinking raw eggs and then chasing a chicken. Not a good combination.
Have you tried, I'm not to derail again, but have you tried making a grilled cheese with mayonnaise instead of butter on the bread?
No.
It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it's better. Because the eggs make it a little like a crispier.
No way.
It's almost kind of like a breakfast sandwich.
Yes. Throwing that out there.
Oh, that's delicious. I had a friend who did that
and it seemed so gross.
Yeah.
But now when you break down what
it is, it's actually a little, it's better. It's a little like French toastier.
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh, that's genius.
Two big revelations in the last
really
minute.
Learning a lot.
I might just chuck this phone. Yeah. Let's keep revealing and revealing, people.
I have a guess.
Yes.
Salad bars.
Ooh. Joan, you said you were a victim of a salad bar, didn't you?
Chinese buffet.
Oh, right. Chinese buffet. Yes. Yeah. So
it's akin to a salad bar with egg rolls.
Yeah.
That I think what I'm going to say is that's not in the list of six, but I'm still going to count it because I feel like the only reason it's not on the list of six is because he's trying to localize as opposed to like, but other things that you would find, like some of the things that we're going to find in salad bars and obviously anything that like. That one of the main thing that leads to food poisoning is food being handled by somebody who has contaminants on them.
Right.
And that's like all salad bars are. It's just like, so yeah. Well, so I don't have anything to read, but we're still going to give it a point.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Joan, what do you want to throw out there?
Okay. What is handled a lot? I want to say just like, I don't want to say like,
sorry.
That's okay. It's a game over.
Song. Yeah.
But sushi. Does he have sushi?
Ooh, sushi.
Great. Yes.
I should have written these down. I didn't realize when I didn't write these down that the list was pages upon pages.
Can they say a million things after each one?
They do, and it's all information that you already knew. Yeah. So I'm going to stick. So with this one, I'm going to credit it in the same way that I credit Madeline.
Okay.
And I'm just going to use that to bridge into raw oysters. So raw seafood.
Yes.
I feel like categorically.
Why oysters make complete sense.
Let's get into it.
This is so good.
Most people know that oysters are not the cleanest food available, but often don't realize why.
Eat all the dirt from the bottom of the ocean?
Basically, they're like covered in the entire ocean's bacteria.
Just like, like a layer of that, yes.
Yeah, so oysters filter feed, which means they eat and hold on to everything that's in the water, and we mean everything. When you eat raw oysters, you ingest their bacteria, somewhat obviously. Marler says that he has seen many more issues with the consumption of raw oysters over the last 5 years as compared to 20 years ago. And he believes that warmer water temperatures are to blame. Why? Ooh. Well, higher water temperatures mean more microbial growth, which means more cases of foodborne illness. In order for an oyster to be safe from bacteria and viruses, it must be cooked thoroughly. That reduces the risk of an illness, but doesn't eliminate it altogether. So he said, we're starting to see more cases involving oysters. Despite the pushback from his friends on the East Coast, he wouldn't take mollusks off of his list. So I guess the East Coast is like, leave those things alone. And he's like, not doing it.
Yeah.
They are good.
Yeah. Oysters are nasty.
I love oysters.
Ben really divisive. Likes oysters. Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, it tastes like you're just eating the ocean.
I like the taste. It's taking me some time to adjust to the mouthfeel.
Yeah.
I've grown to like the taste.
I think that's my favorite thing about them, the mouthfeel.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how it goes. At first, it's like, this is repellent. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I crave that feeling and
Have you ever had the opposite though? I've gone back where I've like loved the mouthfeel and I'd be like, oh wait, no, this is gross.
Oh, like what?
There's this rainbow rolls at a sushi. I used to
love them. Yeah.
I really loved them at first. And then like, I don't know if maybe it's just, like as I got more used to them and my palate. Like, I don't know. They just became like, oh, this is like a weird, I don't like this like combination. There's too many things going on.
Yeah.
Mine is the boba, the tapioca balls or whatever. Like I loved the feeling at first and now they feel funny in my mouth.
Yeah.
And they just feel more gelatinous now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the feeling of, well, all I could think of is I really love the mouthfeel of those raspberry and blackberry candies that are like jelly but have like the little hard balls on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no downside to them. I just love them.
You changed the game.
But mostly because of the texture. I can't think of anything I like. What is it? I like the feel and don't like the taste, or opposite?
Oh.
It was like, there's just anything you liked. I guess it could be either flavor or mouthfeel that you used to like that don't anymore.
You don't like it in your mouth anymore.
You don't want that thing in your mouth anymore.
I'll have to get back to you. Okay. I can't think of anything I stopped liking. Yeah.
You'll hashtag it.
Yeah.
So what else would you guys like to guess on the, I think we've nailed three.
Grilled chicken.
Grilled chicken?
Or chicken on a grill, like barbecue, like, you know, like Mike Hanford style chicken.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. Undercooked. Yeah. Hanford likes his chicken pink.
Yeah.
Again, I'm gonna say let's count it.
All right.
We've got bad news for meat eaters. That's what number five says. Not a good. It's a complete sentence in number five.
We've got bad news for meat eaters.
Yeah.
I got bad news for whoever wrote this.
This is not a good list.
You're not good.
You're not good. Although something of a delicacy, rare steak and other kinds of beef. So we're gonna talk about beef for a second, but I'm gonna branch out. Although something of a delicacy, rare steak and other kinds of beef carry with them a host of potential foodborne pathogens, including Listeria, Salmonella, and E. coli. Marla recommends steering clear of meat that is cooked rare. Mm-hmm. But the bigger thing is that he generally suggests against purchasing any meat that has been cut, because cut meat has been handled.
My uncle who who's a doctor always warned us about ground beef as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know how I may be misdescribing this, but I think what he always said is that like the bacteria, the thing that will get you sick, the bacteria is like on the like outside essentially.
Yeah.
And when you grind the beef, everything that's bad on the outside just gets like mixed in with all of it. So you're much more like you're much less likely to get sick from like a steak that you just like cook.
Oh, because you cook the dirty part.
Yeah, you cook the dirty part as opposed to like a hamburger that's just like had the dirty parts like shoved into the entirety of it.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Why don't we always know this?
Because we have to eat food and I don't know this stuff well enough, but it's the same reason that like we haven't been really fully informed like how much corn has infiltrated our diet in negative ways. It's just there's so much damn corn and we need to eat it. We got to get rid of it. And there's some, I feel like just there is this massive beef industry and they don't want us to know. I mean, Oprah tried to tell us.
They sued Oprah.
They sued Oprah and they won. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they won, but Oprah was just she backed down because like, I don't want to fight with the beef people. Basically the gist is that thing that you said about the meat grinder, very true. Also, meat grinders sort of inherently dirty and they're being handled by people who often are, you know, you wipe your head and then there are so many instances where we don't think about the bacteria in our body that we are putting onto our hands and then interacting with others.
And how many hands has it been in before? Right. Like I worked in a deli one summer and I was just like, everything passes through so many people and so many hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Those meat slicers like never get like they get like sprayed off. But never super clean.
You know what would be a great documentary?
What?
The life of a hamburger. Like you see every step of the way from like the, what do you call those things? The farm factories. Yeah. From like that to like the slaughter to like the processing to like the grinding to like the preparation to like the server handing it to you to like you wiping your nose and then eating your food. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it just feels like there are so many contaminants that come between like cow and mouth.
Yeah.
Hoof and mouth disease.
Hoof and mouth disease.
Yeah, that's what I'll call it.
Yeah.
When I abandon the project moments later. Okay, so there's another big one on here that I think that I found most upsetting.
Oh, is it gettable?
Gettable, like...
do you think we can guess it?
Yeah, I think potentially.
Spinach?
No. So one of the things I'm going to say is that... they seem, this list seems pretty cool with vegetables by and large, which surprised me because I thought of like, I mean, whether it's the thing you hear about like, you know, like the cilantro workers taking like dumps in the field or whatever. Or just like, you know, like, spinach seems to have like an outbreak every single year and gets recalled. I feel like chickpeas recently did. And it was just like, it feels like everything. But they were sort of clear on this one. But except for this one vegetable that I think it will be difficult to guess. But there's another one. The other one I thought.
Was that the other thing's the disappointing thing? The one you're sad about?
Yeah, the other one is the one I'm sad about. And then the vegetable one is like, I don't think you guys are going to guess this one.
Is it an obscure veggie?
In so much as it's a veggie that like, I'll say it and you'll be like, oh yeah, sure. But no one ever thinks of it. It's sprouts.
That is a vegetable. Yeah. Right? It was definitely not like in my top five.
No.
So of course the site also notes that cooking sprouts kills the harmful bacteria. So if you prefer your bean sprouts cooked, you've got nothing to worry about.
If you prefer your bean sprouts cooked, you're a psycho.
Right, right. So in 2014, 19 people were hospitalized with salmonella poisoning from eating sprouts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Marler warns that there have been too many outbreaks to not pay attention to the risk.
Do they say why?
The U.S. government consumer food safety website foodsafety.gov includes the warning, children, the elderly, pregnant women, and persons with weakened immune systems should avoiding raw sprouts of any kind, including alfalfa, clover, radish, and mung bean sprouts. It doesn't. It just says that like there have been all these outbreaks, but it doesn't seem to specify why. 19 people hospitalized with salmonella for me, which seems like a weird thing. Like foodborne illnesses, salmonella seems like a weird one for sprouts. Like you just sort of naturally associate it with eggs and meat and yada yada.
That's so weird.
I'm trying to figure out what this disappointing thing is.
It was upsetting to me mostly because it's something I buy frequently.
Coconut water?
No, pizza. But that's a good one. No.
ice cream?
Yeah.
No.
Is it dairy? Is it?
No. Oh, yeah.
No,
it's not dairy.
We haven't had a big dairy.
It's a food that grows. Well, it's not a specific food. Should I just tell you guys?
No, I want to guess.
Yeah. Okay.
it's not a specific food.
It's.
Can we ask yes or no questions?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Okay.
Is it a hot food?
No. Cold.
Is it a fruit?
Yes.
Okay.
Well.
Oh.
It's fruit. But
it is fruit.
But it's specifically sliced fruit.
Fruit salad.
Fruit salad.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh. That makes sense, though. Yeah.
It makes sense, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Why?
Because when you, I mean, there's, you know, most fruits. When you, I don't know how to say this. Why don't I just read the thing?
Okay.
That I have to find on this endless website.
It does seem Marler? Like, it seems like it makes sense because you're taking like the protective skin off the fruit.
Yeah.
There's more so that's much more surface area for
just kind of soak up.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like also it's like a lot of times like fruits of different like ages.
Yes, yeah.
It's not all. Fresh, and then people probably pick up like a cantaloupe with their fingers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably like if you go to if you're like at a buffet, there's probably a lot of picking going on.
Yeah.
So it says this one isn't so much about the food as the way it's prepared. Pre-cut fruit seems like a great idea in theory. You get delightfully sliced pieces of perfectly ripened fruit filled with vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. However, in his original article, Marler wrote that he avoids pre-cut fruit like the plague. I mention that because he then goes on in like one paragraph later to say sometimes he breaks the rule.
Yeah.
So this guy is not all that adamant about the plague.
No.
Yeah.
So the extra handling and processing increases the chances that the fruit will be contaminated. According to the Australian Institute of Food Safety, pre-cut fruit is one of the most common foods associated with foodborne illnesses.
Ooh.
Still, Marler admits that he doesn't exactly avoid cut fruits like the plague.
I was like, you go to like a, if you ever go to like a diner here and like you get the fruit, like it always looks dicey. That's always like questionable.
Little
fruit, they look like.
Like apple slices.
Like musty,
they
old.
Look actually
The strawberries have like, you know, strawberries have those little like black dots, but then some of them are thick enough that you're like, that's just
what
a spotted dirt. He does recommend eating whole fruits instead. That should help people avoid listeria, a bacteria that can cause gastrointestinal and nervous system issues, which I was unaware of.
Oh, yeah. No.
So avoid listeria because that has an effect on more than just your stomach. Yeah.
Well, are we missing any other ones?
I think we did everything. So we got sprouts, got fruit, we got eggs, we have
oysters. What was number five?
Meat.
Salmonella.
Oh, cut pre-cut meat.
Oh yeah, pre-cut meat.
Yeah, pre-cut meat.
Don't eat salmonella.
Six was oysters. So okay, six was oysters. Five was. Meat. Four was. There is one more.
Ooh.
There's one more.
Ooh.
This one's just. I'm just going to tell you guys this one.
Okay.
Pasteurization removes some of the nutrients in juice and milk, and that doesn't bode well with the super health conscious crowd. As a result, raw milk and juices have become more popular over the past few years, despite warnings from the FDA.
They're so bad.
Pressed juice.
Like,
is not.
You're like $11 juice is going to kill you.
Yeah, pressed juice. $11 juice could kill you.
I always feel so good when I'm drinking one of that. I feel so good about myself.
$11 juice could kill you sounds like the sequel to that three billboards in whatever, Missouri.
Yeah.
and milk. I think I guess people
milk.
Are drinking raw milk, which
was it Anais who told us that milk is mostly pus?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I was going to tell it. Yeah.
Like, how mostly?
She said it's...
Let's look it up.
Over half pus or something? Is that crazy?
That seems crazy. Like, well, how is it, like... Is that what milk is supposed to be?
No.
Okay.
Because the milking machines attached to the udders, like, create, like, an infection on the udders.
Oh, no.
And so milk is full of pus.
Gross.
Isn't that gross?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get very far at all, and it came up with how much pus is allowed in milk.
How much is allowed?
I made it go away real quick. Okay. One second. Somatic cells are white blood cells that are the defense mechanism against bacteria that invade the udder and can cause mastitis. Cow's milk can legally contain up to 400 million pus cells. So one teaspoon of milk can legally have 2 million pus cells. So that doesn't really tell us anything other than to say that feels gross.
Yeah. How big is 2 million cell? Yeah.
Yeah, that's like
I'm trying to picture it.
Yeah, I think you probably can't.
Yeah.
Right?
You probably can see.
Like microscopic.
That's a reasonable amount of pus, I'd say. Yeah.
I guess part of the problem is when you look at milk and you think how much it looks like pus, that it becomes more problematic.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Yes.
Madeline.
Yes.
Pus milk or buttermilk?
Pus milk.
So pus milk over ranch.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Madeline, I hate buttermilk.
You're
too.
So adamant.
What is buttermilk? What is actual buttermilk?
I don't know, but I find it gross.
I don't. Yeah, the idea. You just find the idea of it gross.
It's like I feel like it's kind of a sour-ish.
Yeah.
Thick milk.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yes.
Because I guess is it milk that's like on its way to
being
butter?
It's like yeah.
Is
not
that
quite,
like yes? Not, it's like.
Not yet a butter.
Not yet a butter. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Not quite a milk. Not yet a butter.
Yes. Yes. That's not quite.
It says originally buttermilk was the liquid left behind after churning butter out of a cultured cream.
Oh, so it's like the. It's probably just the pus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically it's.
Yeah.
It's butter pus.
Ugh.
Butter pus.
Butter pus. Joan.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
You can check out my work pretty much daily at Nerdist.com. Come see me at UCB. I'm doing shows whenever. By the team I coach, Bombardier. We are the fourth Wednesday of every month at 8:30 p.m.
Okay.
I guess time zones are never on the half hour.
But close. That's everything for now. Yeah.
This was great, Joan.
Thank you so much for coming.
This was so fun.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.